The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Hello and welcome to the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan. This week, profits are up at the Wood Group. The CAA makes recommendations into offshore helicopter safety and surprising results from the owners of Scottish Gas. But first, an event took place in Aberdeen this week highlighting the opportunities for developing wave and tidal energy. The five-year future was held at Marshall College on Wednesday by the Aberdeen Renewable Energy Group and featured speakers from Scottish Enterprise and others. It also included a Q&A session for organisations with an interest in the sector to ask top industry figures questions. Other similar events are set to take place later in the year. It's believed an industry first has been developed for incident management in the North Sea. EnQuest developed a fully integrated incident investigation, reporting and management tool. They say it combines two systems for the first time for maintaining health, safety and environment. The Wood Groups this week reported pre-tax profits of £246 million for the last year. That's a rise of 14% compared with 2012. The Aberdeen-based oil services firms also revealed a rise in revenues of 3%. Europe's second biggest natural gas supplier is planning to merge its gas and oil trading units as competition increases. Statoil says it's also responding to the fading differences in buying and selling the two commodities. The Norwegian firm's expecting the new setup to come into effect at the start of May. A Bankery subsea technology firm has been awarded a £5 million contract to design, build and operate a cable lay system for a European utilities provider. ECOS Subsea Systems Limited's deal will see them support a wind farm project off the Humber estuary. To complete the contract, ESS is planning to add an extra 30 staff to its existing team of 60. They've previously carried out seabed reparation and boulder clearance work on the same projects.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Regulators this week announced a series of changes they hope will improve North Sea helicopter safety. As well as prohibiting helicopter flights in the most severe conditions, the Civil Aviation Authorities also announced a number of amendments they want made to aircraft. That includes improving breathing equipment and making sure all passengers are seated next to an emergency window exit. Here's CAA Director of Safety, Mark Swan.
So the steps we're announcing today are the result of an extremely wide-ranging report which has looked at the totality of North Sea operations, particularly using our Norwegian colleagues over in the Civil Aviation Authority there to look at best safety practices, but also working very closely with the European Safety Agency, who has overall responsibility for helicopter design and certification. And we've engaged very closely with the union members, BALPA, the offshore worker and gas representatives, and of course the industry itself, as well as the helicopter operators.
Looking across the sea to Norway, what lessons then did you learn from how our Norwegian counterparts do things?
Yeah, we did a very comprehensive review on all of their operations, ranging from what the regulator itself does through to the operations of the helicopters on their side of the North Sea, as well as the engineering aspects. And the only significant difference that we found was that the Norwegians operate an independent safety forum chaired by my counterpart in Norway, and we intend to replicate that over here in the UK in order to drive these new safety improvements forward, starting next month and then over a two-year period to really make some significant difference to the operations of the North Sea.
There are some questions about this forum. I mean, the helicopter safety steering group that we have in Aberdeen, how different will this forum be to that? I mean, indeed, would you look at merging the two operations?
I don't think at this stage we will look at merging the two operations. The helicopter safety steering group is an excellent collaborative group. The forum that I envisage will be to specifically focus on the safety aspects of these significant recommendations that we've put in the report today, and that forum will concentrate on driving those recommendations through. So I envisage some of the stakeholders who are on the HSSG will no doubt be interested parties and will help drive these improvements forward.
In terms of setting up who would be on this, do you have a set framework in mind for when it will meet and who will be at that table?
Yes, we do have a set framework, but we haven't populated the membership yet. So I envisage a quarterly meeting chaired by myself, backed up by a new team that I'm recruiting for this very purpose in the CAA to drive the programme forward. I think a key feature that people will be interested in is that, A, we intend to make sure everybody is represented, B, it will be collaborative, but most importantly, we are going to publicly report and be held accountable for progress as soon as we kick this off.
So each quarter we could then be seeing reviews come out?
That's exactly right.
And will this meeting be held in Aberdeen or in London?
We haven't decided yet. Clearly it can be held in either place on a rotating basis, whatever best suits the delivery of the programme. So that's still to be decided.
I just want to speak then about some of the recommendations made in this review. The one that jumps out at us the most is prohibiting flights from taking place in severe sea conditions. I mean, is that based on what's gone before or has that come from elsewhere?
We, as part of the recommendations in the review, we looked at sea states, as you said. We have done a comprehensive review of global accidents and incidents over the last 40 years. That was stage one of the review. And what came out of that finding is that flying in very rough sea states can inhibit the ability to rescue passengers from the sea, rather than just their ability to get out of the helicopter, which is a slightly different issue. So our recommendation today is in very rough seas in the North Sea, we will just prohibit flying completely so that that occasion doesn't have the opportunity to arise.
Talk us through some of the other recommendations, particularly the modifications you would like made to the fleet here over the North Sea.
So we're saying immediately, so next month, we're saying that unless a worker can be sat next to an emergency exit, then the other seats that don't satisfy that criteria, with virtually immediate effect, those seats will not be filled. So that is a key safety feature we wish to put into effect immediately. If the industry are working together, then move on to longer-term mitigations, which will be, for example, side flotation devices to assist the helicopter staying buoyant in the water. Or indeed, we mandated, just last year, we mandated a new standard for safety emergency breathing equipment for oil and gas workers. And we are now expecting the industry to move forward to procure that safety equipment as it becomes commercially available and they're able to train actually a workforce of some 26,000 people. So those features taken together will drive real significant improvements in the survivability aspects of the helicopter operation.
With some of these coming in next month, how challenging is it going to be for the operators? They will have far fewer seats to operate and get people on and off these rigs.
Yeah, it will be challenging, but we know it's the right thing to do. People tell us it's the right thing to do. And we have received broad support from the workforce and the unions with this particular measure. So we're absolutely crystal clear it is the right thing to do and we should do it quickly. In terms of our initial analysis of the effect, but we await the operator's input, we think there is about a 10 to 15% reduction in some of the major operations where they work at full capacity. And we think that is perfectly manageable and should be manageable, which is why we're giving them a few weeks to work out their rosters and what they're going to do about this particular measure.
It's in response to last August's Super Puma crash off Shetland, in which four people died, the fifth incident in as many years. The RMT union's Jake Molloy is telling North Sound they still want a full public inquiry into the issue.
Well, overall, we welcome the recommendations, but they don't differ in any significant way from some of the issues that we've already been pushing for and working through in the various helicopter safety groups we sit on. And so for that reason, we're still of the view that there's a need for a full judicial review, public inquiry of all aspects of helicopter operations in the North Sea.
Does it give some backing or more weight to what you've been calling for, though, that the CAA are supporting this?
Yeah, I think it does. But I mean, given that the CAA have been involved in some of the groups where we've been raising these issues for some considerable time, I think all it does is acknowledge what we've been saying for some considerable time. But that said, we've got it now, and I think we need to look for an early meeting with the CAA, the industry, and all of the stakeholders to go through it and find detail and talk about the practical application of some of these elements, because several of them will have a significant impact on the offshore workforce, there's no question about it.
Some of the things it's saying in the meantime, modifying some of the aircraft, do helicopter operators now basically have to act immediately on this?
Well, for some of them, for example, the flying over certain weather conditions, flying in certain weather conditions are applicable as of June. Similarly, with the seating arrangement, and unless you have a seat next to a window, will be prohibited from the 1st of June also. So that's going to reduce the number of people in the flights, and it's going to reduce the number of flights occurring in certain weather conditions. So we're going to see an immediate impact. There's no question about that. But again, we'd like to sit down with the CAA and all the stakeholders to discuss the practical aspects of some of these issues.
You mentioned the workforce. I guess some of these recommendations they're making, though, looking at the detail of some of them, will provide a reassurance to the workforce that there will be less people in the craft. They're going to make them safe in the meantime.
Well, yes and no. I mean, the recommendations that we're seeing in respect of numbers in aircraft, windows, the size of personnel and the like, are all to do with an incident, an accident. We want to stop incidents and accidents. We want to keep the aircraft in the air. That's got to be the primary objective, which is why we feel there's a need for a complete review of every aspect of helicopter operation. These are last minute issues. These are issues that you don't want to be dealing with. We want to keep the aircraft in the air. That's got to be the key.
In the CAA's own remit, has this gone far enough? Could they have done more? Could there be more that they should be recommending?
No, I think what they've done is they've done what they can within the scope of their abilities. But as I say, there's nothing of any significance or difference to what we've been promoting for some considerable time in any case. Training standards of pilots, operating standards of helicopter operators, survivability, escapability and the like. But we'd like to go that step further and to build confidence in the workforce, get the whole lot, everybody around the table, and do it publicly so that everybody can respond to the ongoing concerns about helicopter safety.
The CAA's recommendations also include setting up a forum to review progress. This would work alongside the existing Helicopter Safety Steering Group. Les Linklater from Step Change in Safety says they're already working on the changes required.
I think the first thing is that, of course, you know, we welcome, you know, the publication of the CAA review. You know, Step Change has always been and always will be committed to improving, you know, offshore safety, and this will play an important part in that ambition.
Yeah, definitely. And some of the recommendations they're making, I mean, are some of the, not simple, but some of the main things that perhaps the offshore workforce have been asking for. So do you think this will provide some reassurance to staff?
Well, I think certainly it, you know, addresses some of the concerns of the offshore workforce. It might add some more, you know, in terms of, you know, what's the complete picture of safety and how do we improve, you know, not just the safety to and from, but how do we make sure that safety at a worksite is still, you know, at the highest level. But, you know, it's a start of a process and, you know, we have to now work with CAA as an industry to make sure that these recommendations are implemented to best effect.
Obviously, there's only so much the CAA can do, only so many powers that they do have, but in terms of the remit they've got, have they gone far enough? Is anything, do you think, that they could have done and haven't?
I mean, I think certainly in this report they've gone far enough. One could argue that in everything, you know, they could have done some of these things earlier, and hindsight's a wonderful thing, but, you know, it's not about where we are, it's about where we want to be, and the CAA's report certainly sets out a roadmap of an improved safety performance in the future.
Yeah, definitely. And looking at some of the timescales that they've set out, it's fairly immediate. I mean, how challenging will it be for the industry to adapt to this within the next month like they're asking for?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt that some of these recommendations and actions are going to be very challenging to meet. And industry, you know, we've already spent today, you know, trying to understand what the implications are, trying to understand, you know, what the immediate impact is and trying to understand, you know, how we can address these recommendations. So we're already working on it. It's by no means going to be easy, and what we have to do is go through a very clear management of change process to make sure that anything we do add actually improves safety, so there's no unintended consequences by adding additional complexity, etc.
The three main helicopter operators, Bristow, Bond and CHC, have all welcomed the report and say they'll work together and with customers to implement the recommendations. Profits at the residential business of Centrica, owner of Scottish Gas, fell slightly last year. It made £571 million from customers in 2013, 6% less than the year before. But it's likely profits will rise again this year after the firm put prices up in November. Richard Lloyd from Consumer Group Which says the whole energy market needs looking at.
We need to see the regulators now rolling up their sleeves, explaining to consumers very clearly what they think is going on in the market. The best way to do that is through a full market investigation, and that should start within a matter of weeks, in our view.
And rounding off the week, a new gas discovery has been made in the Barents Sea. It comes after Statoil were drilling in the Johan Castberg field in the Norwegian sector of the sea. Don't forget, for all the latest news from the energy sector, tune into our special North Sound Energy Bulletins each weekday morning during Greggsy at Breakfast and the Robin Galloway Breakfast Show. That's it for this week. This has been the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.